here on Twilight Football here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Josh Parrish and Nick D'Urbano with you. And joining us now is the chairman of South Melbourne Football Club, Bill Papastoyiadis. Bill, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Nick. And it's good to be on your program and refreshing to see that football still has a voice, despite the fact that we're not seeing any games being played at the moment here in Victoria. But let's keep the energy going as much as we can.
I appreciate that, Bill. Let's get straight into it. South Melbourne, not owners of Lakeside Stadium, but have this long-term lease. What makes this arrangement unique and different to your, you know, run-of-the-mill tenants?
Absolutely. We need to remember that back in the mid-90s when the Grand Prix was set up in Victoria, and particularly in Melbourne, we had to sacrifice our stadium as part of that deal. And so the Kennett government approached us, being good citizens in Victoria. We agreed to a relocation and the destruction of our home, because South Melbourne has been a part of, our football club has been a part of South Melbourne for well over 61 years now in that area. So our DNA is there, our players have been through there, our supporters have, you know, walked up and down that part of Melbourne for decades. So we engaged with the government, we worked with them, and we moved to new premises. As part of moving to those new premises, we also invested heavily in the development of Lakeside Stadium. So in equivalent terms, we put in well over $10 million into the development and the construction of the stadium we currently see. So we're not just simply a body that's come across and put its hand up and asked for a tenancy. We're a football club with DNA in the area, representing the South and the Southeast, and who, as part of its history and the fabric, the social fabric of our beautiful city, invested money, entered into an agreement, the agreement of which gives us certain rights because of what we gave up. That's what the government promised us. And those rights relate to us having certain vetoes in relation to direct competitors. Being good citizens of football in this state, we haven't used that veto willy-nilly. In fact, we've hardly ever used it. So the Victory and the City football clubs have had youth teams come through. We've had their women's football teams play with us. So we've made sure we've accommodated football as much as we can to ensure that this is a facility that's of use to all of us. But at the same time, protecting the tribe that is South Melbourne, the passion that is South Melbourne, the museum that sits within that facility, our social club, the communication rooms, our offices, our boardroom, our corporate suites. Got to remember, all of that is part of Lakeside, which has a relationship, direct relationship to South Melbourne FC.
So let's talk a little bit more about this veto power. Has the club ever actually exercised it in the past? And what does it actually consist of?
No, we haven't. As I've indicated to you before, we've made sure that we've worked with other codes, for example, league that's expressed an interest in playing there, international football through Football Australia, Football Federation Australia approaching us again. We've made sure that we've accommodated all codes, including our own code, in the course of the use of that stadium. And so what we did when we bid for the A-League license, and Josh and Nick, you'll probably remember a few years ago that we were down to the last four from, I think, 16 original bids. So our bid was outward in saying, and these are the words we actually used, we do not, as South Melbourne, intend to cannibalise the existing A-League clubs. What we aim to do is to bring a new stadium into the A-League, that is Lakeside, the stadium that we have a lease and license over, and that Lakeside is essential to our bid. And again, our bid made the point very clearly. No other club, and again, these are the words we used in our bid document, no other club has an equivalent stadium deal to which Lakeside does. Now, we saw with Western United, and congratulations to them for succeeding in their bid, put across the construction of a stadium in the West, capturing the West as its area of interest and also supporter base, with the construction of a stadium that ought to have been constructed by now. And, you know, that we were competing. And football, let's not forget, it's about competition. It's about tribes. It's about making sure that you deal with the passion that's around you. And I think we were pretty clear about where we stood, where we didn't want to cannibalize other consortiums or bids or existing A-League clubs. And we wanted to differentiate ourselves as being within the South, the Southeast. And as part of that bid, we got over 30 other clubs to issue letters of support that they would work with us in this catchment area. So it's a part of our DNA and a part of our fabric.
Bill, are you at all a bit disappointed with the lack of communication from, I guess, for both sides here? Because it seems like that there was a bit of a hoodwink situation where things were sort of done at the last minute and you're given maybe a few hours' notice that it was going to go through in the fixturing?
Great question, Nick, and I think that's spot on. And I think that goes to the crux of where our concern lies and what's happened as a result of that lack of communication, as a result of seeking consent, as a result of not working with us as a partner, given what I've explained to you, given our financial investment, our emotional investment, and our history. We feel pretty upset about all of this, but it's not us. We're talking about our supporters because, you know, we've got six decades of playing out of South Melbourne. We've supplied almost more footballers at national and international level than almost any other club, given the fact that we've been out of mainstream football, that is the A-League, for 14 years. You've got to remember, only a few years ago, we had Ange Postecoglou as the national team coach. We had Michael Valkanis as the City coach. We had Kevin Muscat as a Victory coach. These are South Melbourne players. We've been out of football for 15 years, but our DNA is still heavily present in the fabric of this beautiful city. And you know what? It's not hard to extinguish because that's what football's about. It's about pride and passion.
So I guess what's the sort of the strategy from here? I mean, Western United said yesterday they're looking to come to some sort of resolution by the end of the week. Are you planning to sit down with Western United, sort of discuss how things are going to go from here? What's South's stance on this?
Look, our position is that this stadium was aligned with our bid, that this stadium is part of our DNA, and that this stadium is part of our future for the next 35 years that we're the major football tenant pursuant to our lease and license agreement. You've got to remember that during the A-League bid, Greg O'Rourke and Falvo and quite a number of the other FFA executives visited our stadium as part of this bid. You know, the only thing they didn't do was measure the length of the grass, the blades of grass. They looked at our communications room, the change rooms, the social club and museum that sits there. I don't think these aspects of our club can be easily transportable to another football entity that we would consider to be a direct competitor. I don't believe they can be.
So
as much as we want to help, I don't believe they can be.
So there's no like doubting the emotional and traditional connection to Lakeside that the South has, but I've seen it written that South have to, in order to exercise this veto power, have to make a business case for how, you know, Western United playing there would harm the club's business. Is that accurate?
I don't want to go into the specifics because okay. That agreement is confidential. But what I can say to you is that the rights bestowed upon our club are significant. Those rights are not rights that we've exercised frivolously in the past. We haven't. But sure. What we aim to do is to protect our club, our supporters, and our future. We are fighting for our future here. This is a club that wants to play top-tier football. This is a club that has so much history. You've got to remember, as part of that A-League bid, we topped 8 consecutive polls in the Herald Sun with tens of thousands or well over 10,000 people voting. And we got over 57% of the voter support for the club that should be the next entrant. And I remember, as part of our bid, quoting Mike Peterson, Trimboli, Postecoglou, Alan Davidson. And the words they used in our bid was that South Melbourne was the club that every youngster dreamed of playing for, and I lived that dream. That was Peterson. Trimboli, I spent 17 years of the best years of my life there, and it's so significant for Australian history. And Postecoglou's words were, it shaped me as a player, it shaped me as a coach. We can't give that up, guys. As much as I'd like to give that up, our supporters wouldn't accept us giving that up.
So you've talked about fighting for your future here. I mean, Western United aren't here to defend themselves, but I think they would say they're not aiming to use this stadium into the medium-term future even. It's just a temporary arrangement to get them through this season and get them a year closer to building their stadium. They don't want to use Lakeside in the long term. And I don't think any of their fans would want to use Lakeside in the long term either, because it doesn't represent where they're geographically supposed to be based.
Well, where are the guarantees for that? Because when the bid process was finalised for the A-League, it was announced that a ground would be built within 2 to 3 years. They haven't turned any soil yet. I'm not criticising them. I wish them well. I wish their supporters well. I want them to do well. I want them to build their stadium, but I want them to be true to their word. We've been true to our word, Josh and Nick, and we haven't relied upon any other club for our bid. We haven't gone out seeking to cannibalise other existing A-League clubs as part of that process. We worked with what we had, the hard, you know, the sweat, the blood, the tears that's been shed. You can't manufacture that passion that South has. It's not, you can't manufacture that. It's real. It's present. And I can tell you, leaving aside what I think or what Nick Mikusis thinks, who's doing a great job as president, or Andrew Mezzaruni is the football head of the football there, leaving aside whatever we think, our supporters have spoken. I mean, social media has lit up like as if we're playing UEFA Champions League. That's been the passion. So it does reveal that my view almost to some degree is irrelevant at this point in time. We would have, you know, the equivalent of the vaccine protests in the city outside that stadium if Western United turned up, and that's been some of the messaging. So we want to protect the integrity of football.
And, you know, Dimitrios has come through in the comments saying every SMFC member supports the club stance. I think it would be close to unanimous there. JB Blockboy in the comments with a really good question, and I think this is maybe the most important point of the whole discussion. Does this not bring to light a bigger issue of the lack of football facilities in Victoria? Not one NPL ground good enough to use? Should more be done by Football Victoria and Australia to build better infrastructure that can be used by multiple parties?
Exactly the point that we've been making now for 5 years since this whole process commenced. This whole conversation should be about football infrastructure. And it goes to the point about when we were notified that we weren't the successful bidder, it was down to four of us. The point that was made to me personally over the phone by the FFA was, well, we couldn't knock back football infrastructure to the value of $150 million. So I think that's where the emphasis should be, that we need more stadiums, we need more infrastructure, and we really wish Western United strength and speed in progressing with their facility and hopefully one day playing against South Melbourne when we're in the A-League in the near future. But that's a conversation that Western United and all of us need to have with Football Victoria, Football Australia, and with the state and federal governments. I know that I have strong support from government for Lakeside at both state and federal level. And I know as part of our bid, we had assurances about upgrading our stadium, but we didn't get up. But I had those assurances. Now, when the time comes for us to bid again, well, I don't think hopefully it'll be a bid this time. Hopefully it'll be the red carpet laid out for us to enter in terms of what we can bring. That we'll be able to contribute additional infrastructure to the football landscape.
Bill, just a couple more before we wrap up. We've got another question just come through in the comments. If Western United were more engaging and transparent in their plans, would South Melbourne have a different view to the proposed stadium deal?
A very good question. I can't answer that decisively because leaving aside our own personal view about providing assistance to clubs, and as you know, as I've indicated before, exercising a veto has not been something that we've done lightly and haven't actually exercised it. But we also have to be respectful towards our members and our supporters. And I think they've spoken loudly on this issue.
Last one from me. Go on, Nick. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Bill, I was just going to ask, might just be, Josh, sorry if you're just going to dovetail away quickly from the topic, but any word, I guess, with the FFA Cup starting and obviously with the roadmap, any word of when the game against Melbourne City might be happening? Talk about rolling out the red carpet. That's the big ticket event that might get Australian football back in Melbourne.
Now, that should be the conversation point, Nick. Spot on. We're looking at late October, early November. We've got good dialogue with Minister Pakula, the sports minister, Minister Foley, the health minister, and the premier. They all want to make it happen. And we're hopeful to schedule it at a time where we can get supporters in there so we can see the buzz and the energy which football brings to this beautiful city. So, you know, fingers crossed, sometime early November, with the stadium that's either half full or three quarters full and chanting loudly for two of the premier clubs in Australia.
And last one from me, Bill, National Second Division. I think everyone wants to see it happen. We've seen a lot of delays. COVID has played a part. It's a bit like the Western United Stadium in a way. It's National Second Division by whatever year it is, plus two. But how's the preparation going for it? Where are the discussions at currently? And how likely do you think this thing is of actually getting up in the next couple of years?
I think we have the commitment of Football Australia towards getting this done. I think Chris Nicu and the CEO, James Johnson, are showing great leadership. Nick Galatas from the AAFC is also doing an excellent job there. There's quite a number of clubs like Melbourne Knights and Heidelberg and, you know, the Oakleys and all sorts of clubs within Melbourne that have expressed interest. I believe it's going to happen. I'd like to see it happen in 2022 towards the end of next year. We've been talking about this for such a long time that it's now time for action. The talk is cheap. The talk is over. This is essential for football to survive in this country. The A-League has its problems. We all know that. I don't think any of the A-League clubs are hiding from that issue. What's the best way to develop that buzz going into football? To have clubs competing for promotion and other clubs fighting not to be relegated. I'm not saying that's going to happen at the start of the second division, but it'll be part of the conversation in the near future. And I think that's the gelignite that's going to ignite football again in this country. South will be right there in the mix. And I think we've got good support nationally, but also within the state to make it happen.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for making the time to chat to us. It's been great to hear your thoughts, and we look forward to catching up with you very soon in the future.
Josh, Nick, thank you for your time. Always here, always to engage in a conversation. We might not agree, but we certainly want to make sure that all of us get the opportunity to express ourselves. Have a great evening, guys, and thank you to all of your listeners.